you're still in control. My praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to pray. He's the Lord. You're sovereign, praise cause you reign, praise cause you rose and you conquered the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise cause you're sovereign, I'll praise cause you reign, I'll praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful, praise cause you're true, praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
All I see is the mountain, you see a mountain.
as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Yeah. For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. Thank you, God. When all I see is the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when you go before us, nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You believe that? Almighty fortress, come on, tell it. You go before us, nothing can stand against the power of our. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Come on, Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand. With my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Yes, Lord. How many know that name today that's above every name? Can you say it out loud? Say, Jesus. Jesus. Say it again. Say, Jesus. Jesus. Name above every name. Highly exalted. Highly exalted. I know a name that can silence or roaring waves, I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I called you Jesus. I called you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave every time I call you Jesus. I called you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave every time I call your name. Holds the keys in his holy nail-scarred hands. He is the heel that has crushed the serpent's head, resurrected great I am. I called you Jesus. I called you your name. Steam. And where, oh great. bless you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands up to Him. Just tell Him, say, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. Our rock, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. We worship you, Lord. Soon coming King, mighty God, everlasting God, my Redeemer. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Let's sing that again. Come on. Oh, draw us nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Christ is my firm foundation, oh, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. Oh, so why would He fail now? He won't. Oh, He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would He fail now? He won't. Oh, He So why would he fail now? Oh, he won't. Believe that today. Lift your finger toward heaven and say, I know you never fail, Lord.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands and give the Lord another shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Isn't he good to us? He's so good to us. He won't fail us. He said in his word, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, even unto the ends of the earth. I'll go with you all the way unto the end. Hallelujah. What an absolutely great promise that God has given us all the way into the end. He won't fail us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're a good God, a righteous King, a holy and majestic Lord. We thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. We thank you that we can call upon the Lord and be saved. We can be safe in the presence of the Almighty King. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sow seed into your kingdom, that your kingdom can be established in the earth in the name of Jesus. So if the ushers will come, we're going to receive the tithe and offering this morning. It's a whole.
Somebody say, God is good. All the time. God is good. Praise the Lord. Thank you for not going on vacation this morning. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of the word today. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a powerful service. Isaiah Salvador is going to be ministering. We're going to be bringing that in live stream. And so we are going to have a powerful time. It's on deliverance. If you know anyone who needs deliverance or someone that needs to be set free, be here. Because God is going to move. Lives are going to be touched and changed, and devils are going to come out in the name of the Lord. So we're looking forward to that service. I know it's going to be powerful. So make plans to be here. 6 o'clock next Sunday night. Somebody say amen. 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 Praise God. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. We're going to read several scriptures this morning. Time to put the devil on a run. I want to hear him bark when he jumps over the Blue Ridge Mountain up there. I want to hear him scream. Somebody say, I want to hear him scream. Amen. 1 John 5 and 4. Then St. John 16:33, and then Hebrews 12 and 26. I know that's a lot for you to remember, but some of you have such good minds, I know it won't be a problem. It just like that. 1 John 5 and 4. For whatsoever, now listen real closely to this. You're going to need this in the days to come. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. I'm not overcome by the world. I overcome the world. I overcome the world. I overcome the world. Say that with me. Say, I overcome the world through Jesus. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? You believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day? Do you believe that he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father? This thing is swiftly coming to an end. Somebody say, get your getting ready to go home shoes on. But you got something to do before you leave here. Amen? Amen. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 16:33. I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. Jesus wants you to be in a state of tranquility. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Absolute peace. When the bombs are going off, when the devil is raging, when the storms are coming, when all hell is breaking out, when the devil is at his utmost, I've spoken unto you that your peace, that you might have peace. So Jesus has been talking to us. Somebody say, in the word. In this world you shall have tribulation, troubles, trials, testings. But, aren't you glad he put a but in there? Amen. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Somebody say the heavens. Mm-hmm. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, therefore receiving it. See, the world is going to be moved. It's going to be shattered. It's going to be broken. Great disturbance, trials, troubles, tribulation. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, say the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Let us have grace, God's unmerited favor, whereby we may serve God acceptably, reverently, and with godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Father, thank you for your word today. We ask you to come and touch our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, we say we depend upon you, lean into you. And we thank you right now for your presence and power and your gifts and your holy anointing. Help us to be sensitive to you and all that you want, Lord God. Father, we thank you right now for your power and presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I reserve the right to get you to stand back up again. Not right now. Not right now. Hallelujah. We just may want to jump up suddenly. Does that make you nervous? Amen. Let's look at Danny Keene's at the beach, isn't he? He's the runner. You'd think he'd be running around the building somewhere. Everybody say pessimist or optimist? You know, the scripture says that God hates a false balance. And one of the things that Christians need to learn today is how to have a balanced vision. I want to be balanced in my belief system. Everybody say balanced. So I ask you the question this morning, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? See, the pessimist is the person that tends to see the worst aspect of things or believe the worst is going to happen. Their philosophy is that they believe the world is as bad as it could be or that evil will ultimately triumph over good. What a sad, sad way to live. But the scripture says that God, everybody say God, triumphs. We overcome through him. So you think about the pessimists and you think about the prophets of doom and cynics and doomsayers and the doubting Thomases of the world. You hear me this morning? Wet blankets, gloomy. And God knows there's enough of that stuff out there today, isn't it? It is. It is. But then you have the optimist. A person who tends to be hopeful, confident about the future or the success of something. So their philosophy is that they believe that the world is the best of all possible worlds, or that good must ultimately prevail over evil. So the pessimist is a person of victory. They're winners. Somebody say winners. The people of conquest. I love this. People of success, achievement. People that triumph, that have the mastery. They have a relationship with Jesus. Somebody say amen. So most people tend to lean one way or the other in life. Doesn't take long to figure out where they're leaning, does it? Man, we need balanced people that see both sides. So you got to have a balance, both sides, a scriptural balance. Come on. Everybody say a word balance, a scriptural balance. See, I believe that we're living in the most dangerous times that man has ever lived. And it seems to me, I don't know about you, that everything is being called into question right now. Never have I heard so many things called into question. One thing we know for sure is that God is our rock. That he is our redeemer, that he is our fortress. Somebody say, yes, he is. And that he never changes. And the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even though the world is changing by the moment, by the minute almost. I mean, last night we, got ready to go to bed. And before we went to bed, President Trump released that mop, didn't he? those missiles down in the ground and destroyed Iran's nuclear capability. Should have been done a long time ago. Somebody said you shouldn't say that behind a pulpit. Well, I can. Yes. Amen. So he's the foundation. Somebody say, he is my foundation. He is my foundation of life. Think about what the revelation of Jesus Christ declares. It says that he who was and is to come, that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning and the ending. Is that what it says? Yes. The pessimist, what they do is they go dig holes and they put their head down in the ground and they hide from the coming trouble, don't they? So they virtually become of little or no value in the world in which we live because they add to the problem. They say, man, it's bleak, it's bad, it's dark, it's horrible. Man, we're not going to make it. Somebody help us. We're going to get nuked out of here. No, I'm going to get raptured out. I said, I'm going to get raptured out. I'm getting raptured out. They've got that Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling. Everybody run and hide. Didn't they make a movie on that, some kid's movie? And we still haven't learned anything. My God. You see, doom and destruction and misery is all that they can see. Negativity. Somebody say negative. Negative. They have no hope and they have nothing to look forward to. But I want to tell you this morning, this is contrary to the Word of God. Somebody look at somebody and say, that's contrary to Scripture. And I love the way God does things. He just tells you, just lays it out. He said, look, it's going to get bad and it's going to be dark in the world. But I got a word for you, church. My light and glory are going to shine upon you. And the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And if you're in this ark that I built called Jesus, everything is going to end up okay for you. Somebody say amen. Even if you lose your life, you're still a winner because you get a great exceeding reward when you get to heaven. Somebody say, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Yes. So the pessimist, on the other hand, sees good and only good. I mean the optimist. I just see good. Oh, yeah, there's bad. I know about all the evil stuff. I know about the dark stuff. Somebody say, yes, I do. I do. See, but they believe in spite of all the evil in the world that everything is going to turn out right. I'm talking about being a scriptural optimist. I'm not talking about just looking at the trouble and saying, man, there's trouble coming, but I'm going to be okay. There's a twister headed my way, but I'm going to be okay. There's a freight train headed my way, but I'm going to be okay. I am going to have to take some wisdom and know to get out of the way of the train and pray my way through the victory. Come on, somebody. Uh-huh. So believing that the world is good and will ultimately triumph is a good way to think. But you got to have Christ in it. I said you got to have Christ in it because that's fallacy within itself. Only one is good, and that is God. I said only one is good, and that is God. And unless our faith is in him, the rock of our salvation, unless we put our hope and trust in God and speak his word and preach the good news of Jesus, things are not going to change. Look at somebody and say, I can change some things right now. But I'd rather have gloom, despair, and misery. That's the way some people are. Man, it's amazing to me that you can tell some people, hey, you can get out of this right now. All you got to do is make a decision. It can be that quick. You can turn around and you can move the other way. Or you can stay in this. And people sit there and say, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. You would rather stay miserable. Eeyore is right. That's exactly right. Oh, me. The sun is not going to shine today. Uh-huh. Pessimist or optimist. You see, being active to live godly and righteously and soberly, and listen to me, in this present world is what we're supposed to be. Salt and light. Everybody say salt and light. Unless we pray. Somebody say, unless we pray, we're missing the point of the whole deal. So we have to learn to be balanced. It's so easy to fall into that pessimistic attitude. Is it? Somebody say, yes, it is. See, the Bible teaches us that we are supposed to be balanced, temperate. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It means to be balanced and level-headed and sound-minded and rational and unprejudiced. It means to be taking everything into account. See, we can't afford to be unbalanced right now. Come on. We got to have our facts straight, and we got to know what we believe. Sin, we don't want to send an uncertain signal or war cry out. So I encourage you to know those that labor among you in the Lord. Amen. So I encourage you to be selective and discerning in who you listen to on the internet. Come on, somebody. It sure does get quiet when you say something like that. Because I know you listen to such goofy stuff on there, and you're trying to figure out who's right. He is. He is. You don't have any right to read anything else or listen to anything else until you've first gone to the more sure word of prophecy and hear what thus saith the Lord is. Come on, somebody. Come on. So we're to keep our eyes and heart glued to the Holy Spirit right now. Want to hear what he's saying. God, what are you saying? What are you seeing? What are you saying? Because the Holy Spirit has his ear to the Father and Jesus' heart. And he wants to tell us about the future. He wants to tell us about things that are coming. Why? Not to just warn us of this clouds and gloom and doom and despair and all these things, so that you might be a bright and shining light when all that stuff shows up and when the world is falling apart, that you have your act together and you have an anointing in your life that can pull down the strongholds, destroy the yoke, and lift the burden from people's lives. Why? Because you have a relationship with the eternal God. Come on. One of the things that bothers me when I watch the newscasters and everybody else who is talking about what's going on in the world is they count God out. Anytime you hear somebody say global warming, we're going to all die because of global warming, you know, there's going to be a nuclear exchange and everybody's going to die. That is hogwash, my friend, because you're put here as a child of God, and the Antichrist can't even show up until you're removed from here by the rapture. And while you're here, you're going to kick the devil's butt and put him in his place and take authority in Jesus' name. And you're going to say, look, I'm going to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world and not live in a state of confusion or be a person who is a pessimist. Jesus was not a pessimist. When he saw storms, he rebuked them. When he saw waters and obstacles where he was going, he walked on it. When demon-possessed people came up and rose up, he cast the devil out. Come on, somebody. He wasn't overwhelmed by the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. He had such a vocabulary of wisdom that he was able to change the entire atmosphere and cause those that came to hear to say, what kind of man is this? For with great authority he speaks. Can you imagine what would happen, you as the body of Christ, if you would just quit being a pessimist and become that scriptural optimist, that every time the devil came and tried to do all the stuff that he's doing in the world, that you let the wisdom of God flow through you? And they would say, man, where did you get that stuff at? I got it right here. Says a whole book full of it, 66 books of it right here. The wisdom of the ages, the wisest of the wise. Say, I put my trust in him. I put my trust in him. So God hates a false balance. He doesn't want you to go sticking your head in the sand and think that the storm is going to pass. He wants you to jerk your head out of the dirt, get up and stand up and man up and go forward in his name and put the enemy, the adversary, in his place. Somebody say amen. You can't live in a state of hopelessness and despair. You've got to know that you have the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And that strength never fails. What did Paul say to the church in Ephesus when he said, talking about the armor? He said, put it all on. He said, put it all on. He said, put it all on. Why? So that you'd be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. Wow. Got to keep your ears to the Holy Spirit. See, we are definitely living in Matthew 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Don't live in the internet, the worldwide spider web, where the spiders get into your head. That's a demonic thing. And they want to spin their web around your mentality. Come on. Stay out of the web. I tell you to unplug for at least 6 months. Somebody say, yes, sir. For many shall come in my name saying, I am in Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. Is that what the Bible says? See that you be not troubled. My God, I can't believe that Donald Trump dropped that missile down on Iran last night. I just can't believe that he did that. Don't he know he's releasing? Be not troubled. See that you be not troubled. Either God is sovereign, his word is true, or he's the biggest liar there's ever been. But I want you to know that man may fail, man's kingdom's going to crumble and fall, but he is forever, eternal, the living God. Somebody say amen. Oh, get this. Wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What? Oh God, I thought we just blew up. The end is not yet. Who said that? Who said that? Wasn't that the same God that said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away? Anybody that's telling me, any person, the living God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus that died on the cross, speaking to me, and he's telling me, he said, look, I want you to get this because you need to understand heaven and earth are going to pass away. But not until I get ready for it to. My word shall not pass away. What's he telling us? Not one crossing of the T, not one dotting of the I is going to be dismantled or shown to be wrong until it's all fulfilled. Somebody say all fulfilled in Jesus' name. So if Jesus said that, then I'm going to say to the man, to the God, the Son of God, Jesus, that said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I'm going to find out what's in that word that does not pass away and tie myself to it and anchor myself to it and not be moved from it and speak it out of my mouth. That any time that the devil shows up to try to get me to fall to the wayside, I'm going to say, I'm standing on the word that never fails. Somebody say amen. It's not going to fail. Somebody say, it's not going to fail. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, ethnic group against ethnic group. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places, diverse places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains of the end. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. That's good news, isn't it? Is any of that happening? Certainly. Go ask the people in Africa. Ask them in Iran. Many false prophets shall rise. Many false prophets shall rise. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many and shall deceive many and shall deceive many. You better stay offline looking for what some prophet wants to say. You got to know the prophet. I want to know how he's living. I don't want you coming burping some stuff out on my life and me swallow that hook, line, and sinker and get what's in you in me. I want somebody I know. Somebody say, know those that labor among you in the Lord. That's right. Listen, shall deceive many. You know why? Because there's such access to information right now. You got one prophesying this is going to happen, one prophesying that's going to happen. They're contradicting each other. God's not stupid. I mean, if we're going to speak for him, let's get our act together. But he that shall endure until the end. That's what he say. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be, what? Saved. Wow. That's good. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What? When's the end coming? After the gospel is preached to every nation. Amen. Well, I thought Al Gore said, man, we out of here, man. We toast. It's global warming. Well, I thought all the doomsday people and, you know, the pessimists said that we were going to get nuked by Iran. I thought that all these other people said that we were just, you know, going to get obliterated. I think it's what Donald Trump said like happened last night to their nuclear facility, wasn't it? He obliterated them. And what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then, and only then, and only then shall the end come. And so Paul, Paul talks to Timothy. We know Jesus, what he has said. And when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall, what? Depart from the faith. What this teaches. And they're going to listen to all the deceivers and the pessimists. And they're going to get on that bandwagon. And they say, oh, have you heard prophet so-and-so? Have you heard, oh, you know, guru so-and-so? Have you heard guru? Say, I don't give a holy hoot about prophet so-and-so or guru so-and-so. I want to know those that labor among me in the Lord. And on top of that, I want to know what thus saith the more sure word of prophecy. I want to know what God said. I'm not interested in what man said. I thank God for men, but I'm going to tell you right now, the local level where we gather together and we know one another and you're living the life and you're living godly and soberly and righteously in Christ Jesus and your life is clean, come on. And you tell me that God is talking to you, that I'm going to turn my ear and I want to hear what you got to say. Why? Because I know that if you're living godly and righteously and soberly in Him, that possibly God is speaking to you. But even though He does speak to you, I'm going to listen to what you say and then I'm going to discern it by the Word. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. See, that's good preaching. It's good preaching. Because if heaven and earth is going to pass away, but His Word's not going to pass away, I want to be in the Word. I said, I want to be in the Word. I want to be in the Word. Listen to what He says. They shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. He's talking about people, not invisible forces. Right here, this is talking about people. Everybody say people. Seducing spirits. You know, you remember Sedusa, the old snakehead? Have you met Sedusa lately? The woman of many tongues. And it's not Holy Ghost tongues either. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Listen, I'm just reading you this. This know also that in the last days, perilous, troublous, times hard to bear shall come. For men shall be lovers of them own selves. Listen to this very carefully. This is why our world is messed up. And I do not want to fit right here. I do not want to fit in 2 Timothy, or the book of Romans goes through this too. I do not want to be this crowd right here. For men shall be. Who? Not demons. We can cast the devil out. Humans are harder to deal with. Y'all looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Well, I'm going to give you some salt blocks to lick. How about that? For men shall be lovers of them own selves. Men shall be covetous. Men shall be boasters. Men shall be proud. Men shall be blasphemers. Men shall be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Men shall be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I don't care what that preacher said. I'm going to do what I want to do. Go ahead. Do it. You miserable, gloomy, dark thing. You're the person that says, I just don't know what to do. I preach Sunday after Sunday out of this book. And if you're dumb enough not to take a note once in a while, something's wrong with you. Somebody say, get in the book. Get in the book. I'm reminded of old Dr. Eby who said he died and went to heaven. Sometimes I wonder about all this stuff. See, when he got there, he said he asked Jesus some questions and Jesus looked at him and said, didn't you read the book? That's all he said to him. Didn't you read the book? Dr. Eby said, I guess he was giving me a hint. Read the book. Somebody said, read the book. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen to what he says. From such turn away. You're not even supposed to hang around these idiots. Morons. Come on. These are not demons. These are people. People. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Whew. Unteachable. An unteachable spirit. You ever met anybody with an unteachable spirit? Oh my God. Man, you gotta, somebody say, learn to listen. See, we hear a lot today about all that's going on in our world, the wars, the economy, the lawlessness that's in our streets and our nation, the saber rattling of all the other nations that are out there. We hear Russia and China talking right now, right? Everybody was against us, you know, talking about Iran except Bibi Netanyahu, not Yahoo. Come on. I mean, my God, if you live every day of your life with a Katusha rocket flying down or an ICBM coming in, blowing your hospitals and buildings down and them dismembering and raping and doing what they did since October the 7th and years of this, you're thankful. I said, you're thankful. I said, you're thankful. You're thankful that somebody has got enough guts to stand up and say, if we don't cut this head off, it's going to get us. Somebody say it's time to cut the devil's head off. It's time, it's time, it's time. So Israel is God's time clock. It's ticking and it's speaking to us. I thought about that scripture in the book of Luke when it said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the end is near. Well, I see Jerusalem compassed about with armies and I know the end is near. Does that mean it's going to end tomorrow? No, it means that the gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached first for a witness unto all nations and then shall the end come. But until then, somebody say, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Under then, I got to march into the battle. I got to take my place. I got to say the Lord is greater in me than he that is in the world and I can do all things through him and no devil is going to keep me from finishing my course and doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. The question is, are you a pessimist or an optimist this morning? And I'm not talking about being optimistically stupid. Where you think that you can fornicate and lie and cheat and steal and commit adultery and do anything that you want to do and you're optimistically going to heaven. Number one, I question you're born again. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. All things are become new. And so the pessimist, the proverbial ostrich, the guy that puts his head down in the sand and says, it's all over, just gloom and darkness and despair. Darkness wins. How many of us, that's a lie out of hell. But the awesome optimist says, it's a time of opportunity. It's time to roll up your sleeves. It's time to get in the fight. It's time to put your gospel shoes on and start preaching this kingdom. It's time to rise up in the name of Jesus and say, wait a minute, devil. You're running around some renegade, rebellious spirit, and I take authority over you in Jesus' name. You're not going to have your way in Patrick County. You're not having your way in this region. You're not having your way in our schools. You're not having your way in our homes. You're not having your way in our churches. You're not going to have your way in this state. In the name of Jesus, we're not going to be blue. We're going to be red. Come on, somebody. Say, we're not putting up with you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. For greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. See, if I'm a scriptural optimist, I do believe that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on now. So you're stronger than you think you are if you're a child of God. It's a time of opportunity. We can do it. Somebody say, we can do this thing. We can win because we know that the Bible declares we're winners. Ha ha. See, many don't even take the time to take God into battle with them. They just run out. But they hadn't got him. You got to take Jesus into battle with you. He's the head. He's the captain of your salvation. He's the one of the armor. I mean, my God, if I'm going to parachute out of a plane, I want to get my parachute first. Somebody say, there's people that do that stuff for you and suit you. You know what I'm saying? Make sure everything's going to be all right, pat you on the back, and send you out the door. I definitely want my parachute. I want all my equipment. I want my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness, my sword of the Spirit. Come on. My girdle of truth. That's the only place that a man can wear a girdle. My feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear God. See, think about this. There's lots of speculation. There is lots of prognosticating. False prophecy. Predictions of the clairvoyance of the day right now. Think. The reason that you need to hear this morning is because we're on the cusp of the coming of Jesus. He could come before this service is over. It's up to the Father to get this wedding going. But in all reality, I think we're here to do some damage to darkness. I hope so. I say I faith so too. It's time to pull down those demonic strongholds. So Jesus, he's the creator. He is the savior. He is the one that said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So I want to hear what the word is saying. The word is saying. And so he's warned me. He said, look, son, I'm going to tell you, everything that glitters ain't gold. Huh? Listen, you don't think we're vulnerable? I know one of the greatest preachers on our planet some years back had a guy that was coming to his church that was supposed to be a prophet of the Lord. Accurate prophecy, I mean names, addresses, and all this stuff. And they come to find out that he was wearing an earpiece. I'm not going to mention the name of the person because I wouldn't do that to that ministry. But that ministry has not recovered. But there are lots of ministries like that. This is not a game. Satan's after your soul, my friend. And he will twist your ear to hear any kind of deceptive lie that he possibly can. I know enough that I can preach things, and when I start meddling, is what we preachers call meddling in people's lives, it's really being led by the Spirit. Is that it flips a trigger in your life and you throw up a wall. Well, I ain't going to listen to that. I'm just not going to put up with that. He's being mean. He's a mean-spirited person. No, I'm just telling you the truth. And if you don't remember anything else, if you go to hell, you will remember my voice warning you. Turn around. Do what's right. Follow the heart of God. In Hebrews 12, verse number 26, listen to what God says. Yet, once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. Heaven is reeling and rocking right now. Reeling and rocking. I know they caught this little thing, and they had, it looked like an, I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but it was like an angel up in the sky that took one of those bombs and poof. Did anybody see that? Over in Israel? They showed the clip of it. It was, you know, and I don't know what's AI. It could have been AI. I don't know. I'm just telling you both sides of the story. But I know one thing. God will defend his people. Listen to what he says. And this word, that I'm going to shake not the earth only, but heaven also, yet once more signifies the removing of those things that can be shaken. Did you get that? Look at somebody say, you're going to get shaken. You're going to get shaken. Somebody said, that's negative. No, that's scripture. Say, you're going to get shaken. You're going to get shaken. Listen to what he says. Signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. Do you have unshakable stuff in you? Because if you're a person of offense and you're easily offended by scripture, you got problems. You're in danger of your soul. Because you will throw up a net mechanism and you will not listen to truth. Jesus dealt with it all the time. Pharisees, Sadducees, doctors of the law, and other people that had been under that delusion and deception. Listen. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, My God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. A kingdom. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Serve him how? How do we serve God acceptably? Being living sacrifices, as Romans tells us. Being not conformed to this world, but being transformed, Romans 12, by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Right? Listen. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence. That's something that's missing from the church. Can we talk? This is so important. People don't know how to revere the house of God anymore. They don't know how to revere the Holy Spirit. He's the most important person that there is here. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Somebody say number one, he's holy. And he is the most easily offended person of the Godhead. It's easy to grieve him. So how do we grieve him? We grieve him by not going by his protocol. Because if the Holy Spirit has the mind and heart of the Father and Jesus, shouldn't we pray to him and ask him to lead the way? Guide everything, Holy Ghost. Empower us. Use us. Help us in this hour to stand. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we need to revere God. Fear him. Somebody say fear him. What did the word say? Jesus said, fear not him who is able to destroy your body, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in a hell fire. That's heavy. You don't hear a lot of that anymore, but it's true. Somebody say, I want to revere my God. I want to fear my God. I want to fear him. I want to fear him. I want to revere him. I want to respect him. So when I come into the sanctuary, I should have a certain amount of behavior. Know how to behave myself in the house of God. And the reason that I'm telling you this is because if I don't revere what I see in the natural about God, I will not revere what I cannot see in the supernatural. I said a whole mouthful. Somebody say revere. Respect. Respect the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're preaching a message, it's not the cue to go to the bathroom. The altar call is not the bathroom time. It's the time to pull in the brakes and say, I'll pee in my pants before I go to the bathroom. Because the Holy Spirit is, the pastor's given an altar call, and I'm going to make sure that the Holy Spirit is revered so that he can do his work. Because listen, Andy and Joe are just waiting for some distraction to get their mind off of that gripping conviction of the Holy Ghost. Because we will squirm, we will squeal, we will lean over and talk to the person, we will pat them on the leg, our neighbor say, that was good, wasn't it? And evade what the Holy Spirit is doing. We'll fiddle with the phone. Personally, I think we need a basket to put them all in. We'll come into the house of God. Shut everything down like that. Every distraction, somebody say every distraction. Every distraction. Revere his presence. Say, God, we want such a reverence in the house that no sinner can escape without being born again, without coming to repentance. It absolutely drives demons crazy. Somebody say amen. This is what he says, reverence and godly fear. Fear, that word's really terror, that you respect who he is. For our God is a consuming fire. Now I can look at that pessimistically and say, I told you it's going to burn us all up. Or I can look at it optimistically and say, I'm going to respect that. Because my mama taught me when I was little, son, when that unit's red, don't touch it. How many of us touched it? I did. Why? I want to see what all that red glow is about. It's just in you. Touch the forbidden. But it's better not to touch it. You find out real quick, don't you? Yes. See, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that the shaking is taking place right now. See, it's happening. It's happening. Ethnic realm, political realm, financial realm, educational realm. You think about all the realms, every nation, the church is being shaken. Everybody say shaken. Because God said, I will shake everything that can be shaken. Everything that can be shaken. And I'm going to tell you something. Your faith will especially get shaken. Why? Because God wants you to know faith never fails. The faith of the word never fails. Your belief in Jesus, your faith in Jesus, the faith in the rock of our salvation never fails. He's always the same. That's the reason he is the same, is because you'll understand. It's not like you go say, where's Jesus? He was just right here. He's then morphed into something else. No, he's the same. Somebody say he's the same. But if you build on the sand, you're going to get washed away when the shaking comes. Listen to me. Getting ready to close. Just a few seconds. You don't have to have anything other than Jesus. Are you listening? He's the only one you got to have that gets you to heaven. You hadn't got to have a relationship. You hadn't got to have a big bank account. You don't have to have a certain house. You don't have to have a certain last name. You don't have to go to a certain church. You got to know him. I said, you got to know him. You got to be anchored to Jesus. Somebody say, you got to be anchored to Jesus. And this is the crux of the matter right here. If you can't let go of the thing that keeps pulling you under, I'm going to say that again. If you can't let go of the thing that keeps suffocating you, that keeps pulling you under, that keeps drowning you in life, you know where you're going to be 10 years from now? If Jesus tarries, worse off than you are, sadder than you are, in more darkness, in more gloom and despair. But Jesus, he comes and he says, I've got the best deal. I'll turn the light on. And darkness has to go. I'll come and give you enlightenment and understanding to know who I really am. And you will say, I don't need nothing but Jesus. But there's very few people who want to pray a prayer like that because they think they got to have the now. You ain't got to have the now. You need the everlasting rock, the Redeemer. Somebody say, I need him. I need him. I want to close with this scripture. In Isaiah chapter 61, he prophesies, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. True? Somebody say yes. And so that scriptural optimist focuses on the glory covering the earth. Look at somebody say, I'm the glory. I am God's glory. We are covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Wow. You see, the shaking is designed to get rid of everything that is not founded on Christ. That's why we get shaken. It's God doing you a favor because he loves you. He cares enough about you to pick you up and shake you real good. And so when he picks us up and starts shaking us, it's not pleasant. And it may not feel good, but the thing about it is that it's, you know, my mother used to take, I used to watch her do laundry, and she'd pick those pants up and sheets and stuff like that. She would pop those things, man. She just, you know, just wham, pop those things. You know what she was doing? Getting wrinkles out. All the balls out. Every little thing so that she could hang them up on the clothesline out back. You know, because we didn't have a dryer back then. But we had good old sunshine and the clothes smelled fresh. It's not like this E stuff that you get now that no matter how you wash it, it still stinks. I went and bought me a retro. I said, enough of that mess. And see, this is the thing about it. When he picks you up and he shakes you, it's because he loves you. It's because he cares about you. It's like a child that's headed toward danger. Maybe they're at the edge of a cliff and they're going to fall off. And the parent will violently run, grab that child and jerk them back to safety, don't they? And shake them almost. Come on. Don't you, what's the matter with you? And so God does us that way. Because sometimes we have to violently get shaken before we'll wake up. Somebody say amen. So it is designed to get rid of everything that is not founded on him. So what are you building on this morning in your life? Are you a pessimist? Are you an optimist? Are you living in the gloom and doom and despair side of life? Are you a prepper? And I think you should have some stuff, you know, for the days that you might need them in the future. We don't know. I mean, Joseph, he stored the grain up, didn't he? But I got to let you in on a hint. Joseph shared that grain with a lot of people. He didn't keep it to himself. See, what I'm telling you this morning is where your faith is tied to is what you're going to be standing on when the storm comes. And if you're a scripturally optimistic person, then you are going to succeed and prevail during the famines of this world. And the world is going to come to you like they came for the grain in Egypt that God had elevated Joseph up to be able to feed his family. Wow. But if you're a pessimist, I'm keeping this all to myself. Ain't nobody getting my Cheerios. Huh? Somebody say you're going to sink like a piece of lead. I want you to stand with me. Jennifer, come on up. So are you pessimistic this morning or you're an optimist? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen. In the sight of God, you are beautiful. In the sight of God, you are his most treasured, precious treasure. He gave his son Jesus to die for you on the cross of Calvary. He paid the ransom for you. He gave the very best that he has through his son. And when he puts these things in the Bible for us to read or when preachers preach, it is not to harm or hurt. It is to lift you up out of that. And it is to turn the light on and cause you to see. Because if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you miss eternal life, you have missed everything. And on that day, when it's all said and done, the final call has been given, and you stand before God, either on the left or the right. And if you haven't made that decision for Christ, you're going to say, oh my God, it's over. Because there are no more chances. That's it. It's a sobering, serious matter that when you come to that moment in time that you realize, I played the fool. I've chose some fleshly fling over God's favor and goodness. And all the squalling and bawling in the world won't change it on that day. That's why now, right now, you have to make a decision for Jesus. You have to make a decision for Jesus. And say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't even know how it's going to turn out, but I know one thing. I'm going to trust you like the word says, because you said your word would not pass away. So I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to do what the word says. I'm living for you. Best decision you'll ever make. It may seem like the hardest, but it's the best. So right now, with every head bowed today, if you are not sure about the condition of your soul this morning or where you stand with God, if you're not confident in the fact that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything is right between you and God Almighty, your sins are completely washed away and you're living for Jesus. If you don't know that and you can't answer that way, I want to open this altar up today and I want to give you an invitation to come to Jesus. I want to ask you to come right now, step out from where you're at, and meet me at this altar today. You need Christ. You want to make sure that everything is under the blood. You can't hold on to anything but Jesus. Got to cast aside everything else. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I know my life is in turmoil and trouble and it's chaotic and it's messed up. And it's because I've done it. I've taken the reins. I've taken the wheel. But today, Jesus, I make a decision. I surrender right now. Give up right now because, Lord, if I don't, I'm going to continue to make a mess of my life. I'm going to continue to veer off course. I'm going to continue in my misery and in my pain. And the thing about it, I know that it's going to get worse. But Jesus, I'm asking you today. I give it to you right now. I give it to you. I can tell you right now, I'm so glad that I made that decision so many years ago. Last stanza of Amazing Grace, standing in the back of a Baptist church. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, it's either now or never. And I made the decision to step out. Putting pride aside, my feelings aside, and said, man, I've got to have some relief. I've got to have a change. And it has been good now for many, many years. You want Jesus today, I want you to come and meet me at this altar. I know the Holy Spirit is dealing. I feel that. I feel Him tugging at hearts. I feel that conviction in the house. And I'm asking you to come right now. I'm asking you to lay aside your feelings. To lay aside all the wrestlings in the mind. Lay aside the pride. Lay aside all the things, all the questions, and come. Come and meet me at this altar. Come and meet me today. Come on. Let's get it all right. Get it all under the blood. You can do it. I did it. I know anybody can do it. You can do this. Best decision you'll ever make. And that's the great thing about God. He is so willing to forgive. He's so willing to have mercy. He's so willing to give us kindness. He's so willing to help us and strengthen us and lift us back up. He's so willing. All you got to do is respond. Respond today. Be that optimist and say, today is my day of change. I'm never going back to that again because I don't need it. I need Jesus. Jesus needs you, my friend. I want you to know Jesus needs you. He needs you in your place. He needs you saved. He needs you in the work of the kingdom. And so today I'm asking you to respond to Him. Say, Lord, use me. Have your way with me. Just come in Jesus' name.